Current state on 90.5 WKAR, I'm Mark Bayshore. State and other officials face important challenges trying to correct Flint's alarming water situation. Among the challenges, getting to the bottom of dangerously high readings of lead in several Flint schools. Among the questions, why were months of complaints of unsatisfactory water countered with assurances that it was safe? In the meantime, at-risk Flint residents have been getting bottled water and free lead filters. Plans are also moving forward to reconnect the city to Detroit water. Those measures are part of a 10-point plan put forth by Governor Rick Snyder. One agency at the center of the Flint drinking water crisis is the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality, and the man at the center of the department is Director Dan Wyant. A short while ago, I asked Mr. Wyant if all Flint residents who didn't have access to clean, safe water have it today.
Flint residents are being made available filters, and locals are providing bottled water. And so what the governor announced was a plan to address the short-term exposure issue, an intermediate switch back, and then long-term dealing with lead service lines. So the answer to that is we know that the water coming out of the Flint system tests non-detect for lead. A lot of homes do not have lead exposure because they don't have lead service lines or lead solder, but where anybody feels that they do, and out of abundance of caution, they should be taking steps to eliminate exposure.
How many Flint residents have drunk unsafe water in recent months? Do we know the answer to that?
No, we don't know that answer. Clearly there's a need to ensure public safety, and the plan going forward addresses that short-term exposure issue, because lead is a serious issue and needs to be taken very seriously.
Are health or medical authorities monitoring the health of those people, or are they being encouraged to monitor their own health more closely?
Both. Great question. You know, the plan that the governor announced looks at schools first. That's where the kids are. Additional testing in homes, three, an expanded exposure testing to ensure that if there is an issue that it can be dealt with. But the immediate is eliminating lead exposure. The intermediate is switching back to Detroit, and then, you know, at issue is the corrosion control, recognizing that water coming out of the system is non-detect for lead, some miscommunication about that, but the issue is corrosion and the ability, when there is lead service, lead solder, copper, for that to leach out into the water. And then long-term, because this has been a long-term issue and not a short-term issue, and so it's important to recognize anybody who has lead plumbing, lead fixture, has the potential for lead exposure, and that is something that has to be addressed for the long-term safety of Flint, not only for Flint, but, you know, all of Michigan.
You and other state officials have acknowledged that previous assurances that Flint River water was safe were incorrect. Now, according to reports, a DEQ water supervisor falsely told the EPA that the city had what's called an optimized corrosion plan in place. Can you shed any light on how that incorrect information got relayed to EPA?
Yeah, I can. I mean, the memo that one of our staff wrote talked about the corrosion technologies being utilized. So if you read that memo, it's in great detail, and then the word optimized corrosion control was used. And so optimized corrosion control means something to people in the drinking water field. Clearly, what that staff person was describing was the technology being used, and it's apparent that that technology was not effective, and so we need to recognize that.
In light of the retractions, are you or is anyone considering dismissals or other serious disciplinary action within DEQ?
You know, what is at issue is experience, and what is at issue is the effectiveness of the program. So we are taking a look at that, and an after-action review, as the governor has called for, has to happen. We all need to do better, and we all need to learn from this. But I want to be real clear, you know, it is the experience of corrosion and understanding corrosion, not the wrongdoing of staff.
Well, you use the word experience. Are you suggesting that you've got too many people with too little experience working for DEQ?
No, you know, again, the issue is corrosion and understanding corrosion. We have historical information on the raw treated water going back from Flint a number of years. It's important to recognize that Flint used to get their drinking water prior to DWSD from the Flint River. And we draw water from our surface waters throughout Michigan, and we treat it to standards that meet Safe Drinking Water Act. And we did it at Flint. The issue is when it left the system and it went into private service lines, predominantly corrosion. And so this is what the experts say. The experts say any competent person should have seen this water would eat up the pipes. And other experts have said, no, there's a nuance, and not every engineer could get this right. So I think the issue looking back is there is an opportunity to get expertise, and that's why the governor called for a scientific panel to expand our knowledge based on our experience in Flint.
Dan Wyatt is director of the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. We're updating the situation regarding Flint's drinking water here today on WKAR's Current State. Should the state, in retrospect, should the state have taken a closer look at the complaints from citizens who were pointing out problems in the water since the switch?
Yeah, I think the citizens deserve credit, and we need to recognize that they appropriately brought the issue forward. And so clearly Dr. Mark Edwards, a national expert, needs to get attention. He's done this in other places in the country and need to recognize that. This is a serious issue. And so I do have to recognize if there was any disrespect or discredit, I have to take responsibility and apologize for that, and have and will continue to.
Some number of our listeners read yesterday an article in the Detroit Free Press which highlighted the role of a Flint pediatrician, Dr. Mona Hannah Atisha, in bringing the issue of elevated levels of lead in kids' blood to your attention. But, you know, when she first presented her data to the state, you questioned her results and said their data was more comprehensive and more accurate. Since this is so fresh in people's minds, why was there such a disparity between the state data and the doctors?
Well, two things. You know, I'm not happy. I'm not proud of the department's tone, and I just addressed that. I really do think, you know, we do need to recognize, and I have talked to personally Dr. Mona Hannah Astison, indicated, you know, I do appreciate what she did. We did have Dr. Wells, our state medical executive, go and review that data. And on confirmation of that data, it was quite apparent that she had done quality work, and we need to recognize that.
There would seem to be almost a separate issue here regarding rebuilding trust between the state and the citizens of Flint. The state appears to have failed them in a pretty big way here. Have you given any thought to that? How do you rebuild trust in circumstances like these?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think trust is the issue, and trust can only be brought back with action and demonstrated action. So the actions that we outlined, the 10-point plan, is designed to do that, and it's designed to solve the problem. And so the only way that we get trust back in the drinking water is solve the problem. And the way that you solve the problem is you eliminate short-term exposure. One, two, you switch back to Detroit, and then you get the corrosion controls right and use the best science and pull in some national expertise to help us get that right. And then finally, over the long term, we will never solve lead exposure until we eliminate lead service lines and the lead infrastructure. And that is ultimately where we have to go on this issue.
There's been some confusion that's arisen from the safety standards that are assigned to schools and as opposed to residences here. There's a tier one and a tier two, as I understand it. Can you help us understand what's in play there?
Yeah, and so there is a lead copper rule, and it is the rule that the nation lives by, and the protocol for the lead copper rule does not require school testing. And I think, again, this is something the after-action review is going to identify. Tests are run at the tap, and when you do test, and we did consistently, and it demonstrates corrosion control isn't effective. And we did notify Flint August 17th it wasn't, requiring more technology. But the fact of the matter is, one of the deficiencies, I believe, in the lead cropper rule and the protocol is that we don't require Tier 1 testing in schools. And It seems like that just makes common sense as something that we need to change, not only in the state basis, but the federal basis going forward.
We're talking with the DEQ's Dan Wyant on current state. Do you fear a spike in illnesses or developmental issues among people who have been drinking Flint River water? That must be a rather queasy prospect.
Obviously, lead exposure is a serious issue, and eliminating lead exposure, and so everybody needs to do more. And so I want to be real clear on that. Department of Public Health, local public health, will be in monitoring that, and so it's serious, and we need to take it seriously.
There was an article. I do want to touch on one other issue before we let you go. There was an article yesterday involving a proposal in the legislature involving banning microbeads from products. What's the department stand on microbeads in the Great Lakes?
We support a ban on microbeads. I had the opportunity to testify in Congress. Again, Michigan, representing 20% of the world's fresh water, adjacent to four of our Great Lakes, we need to ban microbeads. They not only affect the aquatic resource, they have the potential to harbor things that eventually would get into humans. And so this is a practice that needs to be banned. We testified in committee in support of that legislation. We'd like to see Congress move a national ban so that all states in the Great Lakes ban microbeads.
Dan Wyant is director of Michigan's Department of Environmental Quality. Thank you for your time. Good luck.
Hey, thank you. Good to be with you.